Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Be with us tonight. You know, as we're here to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we recognize Christmas this time of year, etc. We're going to take the time and actually just read the Christmas story. You know, if you're not careful, you can actually go through the whole season and never even really read the Bible account of Jesus being born and coming to this earth. And I encourage you as you go through this time, you know, we're with family, friends, loved ones, etc., all the different things that come. And I'm sure you probably got different family tradition things that you do or whatever. And those things are important. You know, traditions connect us with our past, our present, and also our future. You know, because one day, not to depress you on Christmas Eve, but one day you'll be gone. And it'll be your siblings and their siblings and et cetera. They'll actually be maintaining traditions that actually you do. And you know what they'll be doing? They'll be pointing back to you. And it helps create all kinds of different unity and strength within families and stuff like that. So they're important. This is an important time of year for us and for you. So we're going to take the time and just read the Christmas story tonight and go through it. Won't take but just a couple of minutes, and you're going to see it on the slides behind me. You'll be able to read along with me, and it's probably been a while because it's not, you know, you don't usually read that in July or in June or something. So it's probably been a while since maybe you've read that passage of Scripture, and so they're going to be on the screen. I encourage you to read along with me. Now, look, we all know our kids are in here, a variety of ages, and so we don't care if they scream like wild animals, okay? So it's okay. And I know, again, being a parent and remembering those young days of the kids and they're squirming all over the place, screaming, hollering, everything, you think, man, everybody's just looking at me. Well, they may be, but we really don't care. It's all right. Okay, you can let them squirm around and stuff. We're not going to be here that long, I promise, all right? So let's go through and let's read the Christmas story. And you'll see that again on the screens behind me. Read along with me as we begin. Luke chapter 1, this is Jesus and Mrs. Mary being approached by the angel. Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and the end of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." You know, there in that passage of Scripture, it emphasizes, in fact, it's mentioned a number of times there, about Mary and the virgin birth. And I want to tell you, the virgin birth is important. You know, in our modern world today, even sometimes within church, different church circles and stuff, that's almost pushed aside as though it's really not that big of a deal. You know what? For you and I to be redeemed, we need a sinless, spotless lamb sacrifice. The virgin birth is very, very, very important. And the Bible emphasizes it. So it's not just because we as people say it is. The Bible says it is. And that's really what counts. All right? So it's very important, all the things that followed there. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to see it a little bit from Joseph's perspective. And you can imagine what Joseph would have been trying to navigate. Your fiance comes to you, and, "By the way, I'm pregnant. And the Holy Spirit overshadowed me, and I've conceived." Yeah, right. Now remember, these are people. If we're not careful, we project things into the Bible. We think that these people are like statues or whatever that we see, and they walked around like this all day long and all this other kind of stuff. This is a man and a woman who's engaged. Do you understand? So think what Joseph would have been trying to navigate. "Wait a minute, you're pregnant, but nobody did it." You understand? So that's what he's navigating at this particular time. But you know what? God's a good God. Did you know that? He's a good God. God actually shows up and speaks to him. That's pretty good, isn't it? And you can see that here in Matthew. And again, this is Joseph interacting here. It says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Praise God for Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. You'll see it again on the screen. Read along with me. And this is the account that you're accustomed to hearing here in Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses about the birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration. Registration is census. They're taking a census. Registration from Quirinius, the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Now, a common misconception, a lot of times in movies and stuff, they show them rushing into town, Mary on the donkey, they just barely made it, and Jesus is born. But actually, you can see from that scripture, while they were there. So they're already in town, and then she gives birth. Now, if you still want to keep that picture in your head, that's okay. All right? It's not that big of a deal, but they were already there. And she gave birth, though. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Now, I know you've heard that story. We've all read that before in the past and stuff. There you have the account of Jesus being born. And it's interesting as you read that account, all the different things that took place. Now, have you noticed in there, the angel appears to shepherds out in the field. And there's reasons for that. We'll talk about that just for a second here. And then we'll move on and read a few other scriptures. But Jesus is born. Angels appear to shepherds out in the field and reveals to them, tells them a Savior is born. They go and find that Savior and worship Him. Now, if you notice, the wise men are not there. The wise men, I know typically they're in our manger scenes and all this other kind of stuff, but the wise men were not there that night, okay? They didn't show up. It was quite some time later. It's debated as to exactly how much time passed, okay? But they weren't there. Now, I know they're all in our manger scenes, but don't go home and chunk the wise men, okay? It's all right, okay? But they weren't there that night. But the shepherds were there because angels appeared to them. Now, granted, it would have taken them some time to walk into town, to find this baby. Granted, there's the star. To find this baby and to come in and convey the things that they did. But think about it just for a second. Why shepherds out in the field? Why shepherds? Well, at that time, shepherds would not have been real high on the social ladder, so to speak. In a lot of ways, they would have been viewed as unclean. And the reason being, again, just think back to the context of their worship as Jews and having to go to the temple to worship and offer sacrifices, do different things. for these men who worked in this setting, they're out there with animals and all kinds of other stuff. They would have been filthy, dirty. It would have actually taken them quite some time to go through the cleansing necessary for them simply just to go worship. And yet the angel, God, chose these men to reveal this to. Isn't that wild? Didn't show up at a church, synagogue, didn't show up to the religious rulers of the day, didn't reveal it to anybody else. Now again, just keep this in mind. You know, God is not just winging stuff. You know, He's not just up there in heaven, I got an idea. Angels are down there anyway. Let's just let them swing by and scare the fire out of some shepherds. Kind of liven up the story a little bit. God's not doing that. There's purpose behind what He's doing. All right, these shepherds who would have no access, they just could not just walk in and go straight in and worship their God at the time. They couldn't do that. They'd had to do all kinds of things to be clean. But you know what? Here they are. They're revealed by God Himself, by the angels of God. They're revealed about the Savior being born, and they're able to go straight into God's presence, the Son of God, right there and worship Him. You know what God's saying? Those that are unclean, you know what? There's access to me now. You can come right now. You know, but it's not for that baby being born in that manger. All of us would be still the unclean people out in the field. But because of that baby, we now have access to God. The Savior has come into the world, and those who would be considered unclean now have access, can come right up to God and worship Him. That's exactly what they did. Now from here, what we're going to do is I've got 11 scriptures, and we're going to go through those 11 scriptures. Now it shouldn't take us more than about an hour and a half, because you're the last service. Nobody else is coming after you, all right? You're thinking, oh, good Lord, we should have come at 3. Not really. It's only going to take just a few minutes. All we're going to do is just read through them. But there are 11 scriptures, and it just simply relays to you and to me why He came. Why did Jesus come? I mean, why is it necessary? And the Bible is very, very plain. In fact, what you're going to hear tonight, these 11 scriptures, is just a very, very, very small sampling that shows you why Jesus, the Son of God, came to the earth. So we're just going to read through these real quick, okay? Again, you're going to see them, and we're just going to read through them. And there's 11 of them we'll go through. So I encourage you, read along with me. Some of them, most of them, I'm sure, will be familiar to a lot of you. But read these scriptures with me as we go through them. We're going to start in Galatians chapter 4. Now, don't read them out loud, right? But just read them up there, okay? Read them to yourself as we go through. Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of time had come, which we just read that, when the fullness of time had come, we just read that account of when that time was, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Now there's a lot more even in the verses surrounding those verses that it would be great to go into, but I don't have time to. But the amazing thing there is that God Himself sent His Son, Jesus, so you could be adopted into the family of God. Think about that for a second. It's not, you think, I know we celebrate this time of year, it's a lot of fun, lots of food, lots of all kinds of other stuff. Families around, I know that can be good or bad, but families around. But you think about all the things we go through this at this time of year. But think, the part of the purpose was that God Himself adopted you. Who would want you? Think about that. Think about that for a second. God Himself sent Jesus to adopt me, to adopt you. That's wild if you think about it. But that's why He came. He came so that you and I could be adopted into His family. You know, Jesus Himself actually calls us His brother, His brothers. He calls us that. You're adopted into God's family as a child of God. Let's look at the next scripture, Hebrews chapter 2. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, in other words, we're human beings, have flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Think about that just for a moment. Jesus Himself came that through His death to deliver us from the fear of death. You know, you don't have to be afraid tonight. Jesus Himself came and died so that we could be set free. Became flesh and blood just like us so that we could be set free. Look at Luke 19:10. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. God loves us so much, loved you so much, loved me so much, that He sent His Son Jesus to this earth so that we could have life through Him. That's an amazing thing if you think about it. That's how much God loves you. It doesn't matter how you came in here tonight. I mean, your family may have forced you to come tonight. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter all whatever's surrounding you. You know what? God's not mad at you. God sent His Son Jesus to die for you so that you could have life through Him. That's an amazing thing if you think about it. Luke chapter 4. This is Jesus talking in Luke chapter 4. And this is at the very beginning of His ministry. He's reading the Scripture. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." That's Jesus saying that. Jesus came so you could have life. Why did He come? So you and I could be set free from the bondages of the devil. So that you and I could have abundant life in this life. John chapter 12, verse 27. This is Jesus. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to be crucified. So it's not too long, just hours away from Him being crucified. This is what Jesus is praying. It says, "Now is my soul troubled. And now what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify Your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and I will glorify it again." John chapter 18. This is Jesus before Pilate. Again, literally just a very short period of time before He's about to be crucified. He's speaking with Pilate. He says in John 18, "Then Pilate said to Him, 'So You are a king?' Jesus answered, 'You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Then the last couple of scriptures, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." What did Jesus do? He humbled Himself. He took on human form. He became one of us. Hebrews, the scripture we read there, He became flesh and blood just like us. John chapter 1 talks about the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator of heaven and earth, He became flesh and blood for you and for me. Humbled Himself in obedience unto death. Why did He do that? Jesus Himself said, the two previous scriptures we read, when He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and when he's talking to Pilate, what did He say? "I've come for this purpose. This is why I came." He's not trying to get out of it. Should I pray, deliver me? This is why I came. This is why I came, for the purpose of what? Humbling myself, being a servant, and dying on that cross to redeem you and to redeem me. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, it says that we are the hope, or we were the joy that was set before Jesus. You know what that joy was? You. He saw you. He saw me. Think about that. The God of the universe saw you and loved you so much that He died for you. Sent His Son Jesus for you. In fact, the last scripture, John chapter 3, 16 and 17, we all know this scripture. I've been ministering to witness the gospel to people before in all kinds of places, some of all kinds of crazy places, and people that you might would consider the worst sinner in the world can finish quoting this verse. So I know we've all heard this verse, but let's read it here. John chapter 3, 16 and 17. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life," or eternal life. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. I know we all know that verse and have heard that verse. Isn't it interesting? A lot of times we'll read verse 16, but we fail to go into verse 17. And it tells us there that God did not send His Son to condemn the world. But isn't that how so many of us view God? Condemning, judgmental, He's mad at me, I'm not worthy to be in His presence. Isn't that how we tend to view Him and see Him? Isn't that how we tend to do that? I want to encourage you tonight. You know what? Religion is very, very cruel. Did you know that? It's very cruel. You know what religion does to you? Religion tells you and puts before you things that you have to do to try to make yourself acceptable to God. If you'll just be a better person, God will like you more. If you'll just work harder, if you'll give more, if you'll serve more, you just got to be better. You can find yourself in a position where, especially this time of year, where we tend to be a little bit more reflective. You know, again, especially if you've got some age behind you, this year went by pretty quick. You're thinking, man, they're clicking off pretty fast here. And you can kind of get pretty, you can get reflective. The Bible talks about life being like a vapor. And how many of you know, as you get older, that vapor, man, it goes fast. You want to hold on to that vapor. Okay? And so you kind of tend to be a little bit reflective. You know what religion does to you? You'll be thinking about things. Religion says, you're not good enough. You've got to do better. You are worthless this year. You better do better. If you expect to make heaven, you better do better. You better live better. You better talk better. You better serve more. You better give more. You better read the Bible more. You better go to church more. You better blah, 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 blah. How many of you know you can't do it? You can't do it. Isn't that true? And we've all tried. We've all tried in various ways. We've all tried in all kinds to make ourselves better, to make ourselves try to do things. And you know what? You can't do it. You know how you get better? By receiving Jesus, and He changes you from the inside out. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You know where that takes place? Right in here inside. And the Bible goes on and talks about, you know what you do? You just simply put off the old and put on the new. I put off the stuff that's old and I put on the new. You know how I have the ability to do that? You have the ability to do that? It's by the power of the Spirit of God that lives within me that I transform from the inside out. Because you can't do it by yourself. You know what religion says? Religion says, you better shape up, buddy. You did not do good enough this year. You seen your checkbook? You didn't give. You didn't do this. You didn't serve. You only came to church two or three times. Christmas Eve, buddy, that didn't do it. You should have been here. Blah, 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 blah. Isn't that right? Isn't that what it does to you? And you feel tortured. You feel condemned. What did we just read? John 3:17. God did not send Jesus into this world to condemn the world, but by Him, we should be what? Or could be what? Saved. Woo, that's good news. In fact, the gospel is called the good news. You know why it's good news? Because, man, it doesn't rest with me. Because if it rests with me, I promise you, I'm going to mess it up. You would mess it up. We all would mess it up. Praise God for a Savior who became flesh and blood, dwelt among us, did not count His equality, Him being God, as something to hold on to, willingly became a servant, willingly obeyed to the point of going to the cross to die for you and for me, willingly gave His life so you could be adopted, so you could be free. That's an amazing thing. That's why Jesus came. Whether you realize it or not, that's why we celebrate His birth. Did you know in the early church history, the early church really didn't talk a whole lot about Jesus' birth. They actually really didn't even celebrate it. They actually pointed more to the resurrection. They referred to it as the Lord's Passover because it's the same time of year. They actually really didn't celebrate Christmas. It was only after a couple hundred years of church history that the church actually began to talk about when Jesus was born. Because remember, nobody really knows when Jesus was born. Okay, there's no birth certificate. CNN was not there to record it. Okay? So nobody really knows the exact day and all this, and really even the exact year. Nobody even knows that exactly, okay? And so the church really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it, but a couple hundred years into church history, the church began to pay a little bit more attention to it, and they began to try to assign different dates and things like this. But then eventually, about another 100 years after that, December 25th was chosen. And that's how it came to be, and that goes back a long, long time, that was chosen, this date, for us to celebrate it. But you know what? But if you're not careful, we focus on the celebration and we forget about all those things we just read. It's not about all the things we celebrate, even though we do celebrate them and they're awesome. It's about the one that we celebrate. It's about Jesus. And I want to encourage you tonight. Jesus came. He was in that manger. He lived as a child, was raised. And again, He willingly and on purpose, as He said, you could see His words from the Scriptures there. He said, this is why I came. This is the purpose I came. Can I pray to be delivered? Nope, because this is the purpose that I came. And I want to encourage you tonight. Doesn't matter what is going on in your life, that same Jesus is here for you. Yeah. And I encourage you, don't go through this holiday season, the Christmas season, and go into 2013 without knowing the one who willingly gave His life so you could be adopted into God's family. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads, pray. Just close your eyes, bow your head just for a moment. Father, I thank You for each person in this room. I thank You, Father God, that You loved us so much that You sent Your Son Jesus to die for us, to redeem us, not to condemn us, not to give us a religious ladder to try to climb, religious deeds to try to do, but literally to redeem us, to call us Your own, to adopt us into Your very own family. Thank You for that precious gift. And Father, tonight we choose to receive and to worship that gift. We thank You so much for that. Just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed just for a moment. If you're here tonight and you're unsure about your relationship with God, you don't know where you're standing in your relationship with God, I'm here to tell you, you've already heard it. God loves you so much, sent Jesus to die for you. God's not mad at you. God's not condemning you. That condemnation, that judgment was actually poured out on Jesus, His own Son, for you and for me, so that we could be adopted into God's family. God loves you so much. He knew you'd be sitting in this room tonight. He knew you'd be here. He loves you so much. I want to encourage you, don't leave this room tonight without knowing where you stand in your relationship with God. It's a simple thing. The Bible refers to Jesus as a gift. It refers to our salvation as a gift. It's referred to as an unspeakable gift, a free gift. All you have to do is just simply receive that gift. Much like what you're going to do here, whether tonight or tomorrow, you're going to receive presents, open those presents. All you got to do is open God's presence. Jesus willingly came to you to be that gift to you. I encourage you, please don't leave tonight if you're unsure. It's a simple process. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm not going to have you come forward. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. Here in just a moment, all I'll ask you to do is simply raise your hand, and then we'll all pray together. Everybody in this room, we'll all pray out loud together with you, and Jesus will come into your heart. And you can go throughout the rest of this season and the rest of this year and into next year a changed person. Jesus loves you, died for you. So if you say, Pastor Steve, that's me. I'm unsure, but I'm not going to leave here. I want to know that I'm right with God. I want to know my sins are forgiven. I want to know where I stand in my relationship with God. If that's you, heads bowed, eyes closed, right where you're seated, just very quickly raise your hand and I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Thank you so much. I see those hands. Raise it up high enough so I can see them. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. I see. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. All over this room, people have raised their hands. Not going to drag this out. Just going to wait just another moment. If you're here again, please don't leave. Thank you so much. I see your hand. Anybody else want to join those that raised their hand? Anybody else? Thank you so much. I see your hand back there in the back. Thank you so much. I see you. Anybody else want to join these that raised their hands? Last time. All right, let's all pray this out loud together with those that raised their hands. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name, and I thank You for Jesus. I thank You for the gift of Your Son. And tonight, I receive that gift. Lord Jesus, thank You for coming. Thank You for dying. Thank You for being raised from the dead for me. Lord Jesus, I open the door of my heart, and I invite You in. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for cleansing me of my sin. And I receive You now as my Savior and as my Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.